All right, hour number two, 7:05, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. 888-808-1019 is the phone number. So since we were talking about, you know, Ben and Patrick Mahomes and all that, I only watched the first episode, but Quarterback came out yesterday on Netflix, and you've got Burrow and Goff and Cousins. The Burrow storyline's fine, but I was really more intrigued by Goff and Cousins, at least in episode one. Anyhow, Burrow just seems like a nice kid who's living I know he's got a girlfriend now, but lives alone, and his parents seem great. But all right, fine. Not much of a storyline yet for me in that.
Yeah, he sure doesn't do anything to make you go, this guy's dangerous or anything.
No,
like
not in the first episode. Yeah. But the guy, so I'm going to play something for you first. And these are, I guess, first impressions of what they saw. You tell me what you think about this. I know Al watched Quarterback, and here's what he noticed.
I watched the first episode of Quarterback.
Did you?
Yesterday, yeah.
All right.
Two things stood out mostly for me. I only watched the first episode. One, Joe Burrow is similar to me, and he's trying to teach himself the piano. The second thing that stood out in the Quarterback series is Jared Goff's wife has very large breasts.
I heard that this morning. Well, she's a supermodel.
She is beautiful. Yes, and she's not blonde. Al.
Not blonde. Yeah, very rare.
At all. But so that was the funny part of it when I heard Al say that this morning.
I love what Al took from that.
Look, I'm not going to lie to you. He's not wrong.
Boobs and pianos.
It is, yeah, they're out there for you. But in terms of the actual football part of it, so the Goff thing to me, I thought was the most intriguing. I know the Kirk Cousins headlines are out there about Michael Penix, and we'll get to that in a second. But the Goff thing to me was so intriguing from the standpoint of me as just an NFL fan. When he got traded from the Rams to the Lions, it felt like, all right, the Rams wanted no part of him anymore. He took them as far as they can go to the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah.
But we're not winning with this guy.
Which was a boring Super Bowl. I was there for that.
It was a 13-3 or something.
The one score Brady hit Gronk in the end zone.
And that was that.
Yeah.
And you kind of felt like the Lions, and they were doing Matthew Stafford a solid because they weren't very good at the time. And it just, again, as a football fan, it felt like, all right, we're moving in a different direction. We'll have this guy for a couple years. We'll draft a quarterback and we'll move on. But when you watch it, they've got Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. Now, obviously, it's not back then, but they're talking about it now as of how excited they were. And then it's backed up by Goff, who's interviewed for the documentary, and he's relaying the phone call that he got from both of them, like how excited they really thought they could win with him, and how he went from really disappointed and stunned to excited to be going to Detroit. Now, I've never been a pro athlete. I've never had to, you know, I've never been traded or been a free agent, moved to a different city. It's got to be jarring, on Tuesday, you're a member of the Rams in Los Angeles, and on Wednesday, you're heading to Michigan to go play for the Lions. And he handled it with great, really was something to see.
Well, one, it always feels good to be wanted. I can only speak first, man. When I was released by the Steelers, the next 20 minutes after that was Rex Ryan saying, hey, are you ready to come home?
That quickly.
That quickly. I wasn't a free agent very long, and, you know, his pitch didn't. It wasn't a lot for him to say because I had the opportunity to play with Brick and Nick and the rest of the team. Obviously, I was coming home at that. But I think in reference to Jared Goff, you know, you leave a team who you brought to you brought them to the Super Bowl. It looks like the trajectory really wasn't, I guess it wasn't on a downswing. It looked like it was just more pieces for them to get back to the promised land. To land in Detroit with Dan Campbell, a guy who necessarily wasn't proven at that position being the head coach, I mean, they were both walking into a situation where they needed each other. And sometimes when somebody lays the law and say, hey, man, I believe what I can do here and what you could do here and we can make history, at that point, it's a clean slate. Now you're just saying, all right, we're married to each other. Let's make it work. And they're both passionate guys. The thing about Jared Goff, what's interesting about this piece is we don't know much about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's not – he doesn't give you his lifestyle. For the most part, he's kept his relationship with his super hot wife pretty quiet. He doesn't get into that. I think what I wanted to see and want to see with this series is, one, what's his relationship with Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson? How much of a football savant is he really? Because he obviously knows the game of football. He's been playing at a high level. And two, how does he get along with his teammates? Those are all things we necessarily don't see. We see Jared Goff play football. We see him at the end of the game getting a game ball. He says, you know, he gives this quick speech and he disappears the next Sunday. I would love to see more of the personality. Is he a golfer? You know, does he like hot dogs at night? The silly stuff like that. I think meeting the man in the humanistic side is something I'm interested in. Hopefully we get to see a little bit of it.
Well, I think in the first episode, you started to see that. You kind of see the personality with him, with his wife behind the scenes. And because watching him, I agree with you. He looks like a bore. He looks like he's just out there.
Prior to this, what did you think about Jerry?
Bore. Like just boring and not much to him. And yet just in one episode, and I agree with you, I want to see the whole thing. All of I'm not going to lie to you. You heard the clip from Al. You can't tell me that 19 out of 20 guys aren't looking at her and him and saying, why?
Well, I've met Jared Goff in person. He's a tall SOB. And he's, at the time I met him, he was a rookie coming out of Cal. I mean, he's a fairly handsome guy.
I'm not saying he's not, but he shows no personality on the football field. I mean, emotion, sure.
Well, to your point, and relative to Kirk Cousins, you know, with the sound bites, you like that.
Right.
Or, you know, him on a plane.
God gives you nothing.
Nothing. Right. And by the way, he's on the hottest team in football.
Right.
Which, by the way, I kind of like.
Fair enough.
But I kind of like the quarterback on the hottest team in football not being the rock star of the group.
And he's not. He's steady, and he's really good. But to answer your question, watching the first episode, you start to see a pretty good dude, which I would not have known otherwise. And
I think for some guys who are on the bubble in reference to potentially having a Hall of Fame career, I think some of the things that hold guys back from those type of accolades is because there's a lack of personality there. You know what I mean? That when you,
I can see that.
When you look at their resume and what they've done during their career, the fact that, you know, if Jerry Rice doesn't have the numbers he has, you don't know nothing about Jerry Rice.
Right.
You just know he was a hell of a player.
Very quiet.
Very quiet, kind of to himself. Now he's doing everything, Dancing with the Stars, Popeye commercial. Now we're seeing it after the game, but it's kind of too late. Mm. You want to see it while the guy's in his prime. So I think this helps Jared Goff, especially when it's all said and done. Like, no, I knew the man. I know the player. I like what I see. And then everything that comes along with it, it feels like he's deserving. He's worthy of it because he opened up. Not necessarily he doesn't have to, right? But I think it helps his overall career.
And you could say the same thing about Cousins a couple of years ago. I mean, that documentary showing him how hard he worked, you know, what he went through, the video he was watching, talking to the, not psychiatrist, but the psychologist.
Yes, yep.
Like, you saw a side of Kirk Cousins that none of us had seen. And I remember walking away from being like, damn, I know he has struggled to win big games in the postseason and all that. He's got great numbers, but we want to see more winning. I walked away saying, I'd love that guy to be my quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's crazy because we look at Brady as being Jordan-esque at his job. But I'm more in love with Brady off the field than I was when he was kicking my tail in the league. You know what I mean? It's solely because he's open. He's more flamboyant. We knew he had all this other stuff with the model wives, ex-wives, and all that stuff. But overall, when Brady talks, I'm more engaged about what's coming out of his mouth than what he was able to do on the football field. Like, and bad out a lot of times on the wrong side of it. So I wasn't happy with it. But overall, man, I'm more in love with Brady than man than I was the football player.
Understood. Now, it's interesting because they show when this start, you know, what opens up, it's talking about Burrow and Cousins and Goff, and the, you know, the way it's put together is really fantastic. And they're showing how great they are and what the potential is. And it just makes you think, and I only bring this up because you just mentioned Brady. You know, everyone's chasing the Super Bowl. Everyone's chasing the Goff got there, didn't win. Who knows if he ever gets there again?
He'll have one more.
Maybe. And with that team, you would certainly think so. Burrow got there early on. And as he even says, you know, you think you're going to be there a lot. And all of a sudden, here you are going into year five now. Thanks. It goes quick. And then you sit there and really think about how many times Brady was in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl. I feel like we've gotten numb to it. But when you look at a guy like Burrow and Goff and all these great quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers only won one.
Yep.
And what Brady did, it just magnifies how incredible that run was.
Well, I think, and Brady has even admitted to this, because he was a part of a system that was conducive to that, right? And how Belichick ran his locker room and how he ran the organization as a whole. There was a recipe for that type of success. In reference to Joe Burrow, they don't have a defense right now. And they put a boatload of money in between two receivers, between him, between Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and obviously Burrow's getting a healthy contract. But outside of it, there's nothing going on. And so if you're Joe Burrow and you're like, man, yeah, I'm capable of throwing 40 touchdowns a season, but we can't stop anybody. I don't know if I'm going back to the promised land
right.
if we don't get a defense. And because you can't win a championship without defense, every year that's indicative of that. You say what you want about the performance of Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. That defense is what won that Super Bowl for them. Obviously, Jalen Hurts played big-time football, but it was that defense that really lit Patrick Mahomes up in that Super Bowl.
But the problem there for most teams is they have to pick a side. You either put your money into the offense and you deal with what you have on the defense, or you put your money into the defense and hope offensively you're good enough. It's really hard with the side. And I'm not saying all teams don't. Some teams figure it out. The Eagles figured it out. And you got to hit with the draft.
Yes.
To keep those salaries down. The salary cap makes it really difficult to do what you're saying.
And I think you make a good point, but I think the new wave right now is put all the money on offense because it's more sexy and it sees it sure. more longevity in that philosophy. Nevertheless, defense for me would always be first and foremost in my mind. And I'm saying that because I was obviously born a Steeler. I'm saying that because at the end of the day, defenses change momentum. They do things like offense. It takes so much for the offense to click on the same page. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. many things have to go right. One missed block, wrong assignment. So much can one guy goes wrong, the play goes dead.
Yep.
Defense, two guys can miss a tackle. You got to waiver other guys getting to the ball, right? See ball, get ball. Like sometimes defense, they fall into a situation where sometimes being wrong is right. Offensively, that doesn't happen. You got to be right. It's hard to score in the NFL. It's hard to win games in the NFL. It's hard to have a good offense where everybody's on the same page in the NFL. Like we work on a string. One guy's off, the whole play goes dead. So I will always side with defense as far as chasing the championship.
And it's so interesting you said that because and we don't have a lot of time for it now. Maybe we'll get back to it again later. But in the Cousins part of it, so they're playing the first game against the Steelers. They're showing the highlights. And there was a pivotal play in that game where now if I take it back about 5 minutes, Cousins is talking about how there's way too much motion in this offense. Mm. Now, I, as the novice football fan, I don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
Trying to smoke out the defense, trying to decipher if they're right. playing man or zone.
But I feel like I've been watching that forever. He's saying that Mike McDaniel added another layer or two to it. Now other teams are starting to follow where guys
well, he's
are all
trying
over
to
the place.
He's trying to, I mean, he was talking to reference trying to manipulate safety rotation.
Okay.
And sometimes when you're, I think a lot of offensive coordinators, they find themselves of playing this motion game, trying to smoke out zone or man or trying to dictate rotations. And you're against the clock. The play's coming off the sideline late. Offsides here.
You're hitting on everything.
You know what I mean? Like, so what he's saying, he's like, damn the smoke and mirrors. Let's go play football. Because as much as we want to smoke out of defense, we're killing momentum. And you understand, for a quarterback, his biggest asset is his offensive line. If these guys aren't in the rhythm, I can't get in the rhythm. Because we can't play chuck and duck football. And if we're out of sync from a operation standpoint, it doesn't matter what's moving around us. We got to get momentum. And that's why you see a lot of offensive linemen, they'll say to you, let's run the ball. Because we always want to get going first. Because
right.
if we get going, everything falls in line around us. And so that's what he was speaking to.
It's so funny that you bring that up about, you know, it's got to be timed right. So in the one play that I was bringing up that they show on the documentary, there's one of these motion plays. Mm-hmm. So first of all, the play coming in from upstairs comes in late.
Yep.
He can't hear. It seems like he can't hear. Once he gets it, he looks. The play clock's running down. They hurry to the line. And then because he's new in this system, he had the wrong signal to the guard or the center. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. And the motion was late. The snap came out off-timed because the wrong signal. And he goes over to the line and he tells his guys, hey, my fault. I gave the wrong signal. I knew it might happen. It won't happen again. But then in the documentary, when they're interviewing, he's like, you know, this is coming in late.
Yep.
You're looking at the play clock. Mm-hmm. This guy, he's waiting for me to signal him to go. The guy's wait. There's just too much going on. Like, why make it so complicated?
And Jerry, that's just one play.
That's one play. That's one. Like, everything's got to be perfect just to get the play snapped and off. And you sit there and say, like, why do you make it so difficult?
It doesn't have to be. And that's what's important about having a veteran signal guy. Because if you have a young guy, he's rattled in that moment because, one, he's trying to think about everything he has to do and be right.
Right.
A veteran guy goes, hey, this is on me. Even though everything is not on him. But he has to study the temperament of his offensive line because if he looks rattled and he sounds like he's not controlling the plane, then guys go rogue. And if guys who feel like, man, they are me guys, which every team has me guys, then they tap out, right? And that's when you start seeing the discourse on the sideline. Mm. So much is on the quarterback's shoulders from the neck up, man. It's unbelievable. That's why when people knock about how much these guys get paid, they don't get paid enough. You know what I mean? Because there's so much they have to control outside of just throwing the damn football. I mean, a lot of times when you see a quarterback see, like, for instance, like Aaron Rodgers, he's a mastermind. So much of his game is doing everything at the line because he doesn't want to deal with the sideline. Because, you know, a guy upstairs is seeing everything he can't see, but trying to relay what he can see during the play of trying to make things happen for everybody else. And so he's trying to say, hey, man, let me just see it. If I can see it, I can operate from it. But that's like a master class in football. A lot of these young guys take 4 or 5 years just to get there. That's why it's impressive when you see the Joe Burrows and the Josh Allen to be able to kind of dissect that and be that guy right now at this early stage of their career. So it's different, man. But I attest to a lot of these quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins. They've been around so much football. They're just trying to half of the time they're trying to temper emotions on top of doing their job, on top of being what they need to be for the team. And it's a lot.
Pretty good start to the documentary. I look forward to watching episode 2. We'll take a break. We'll get CeeLo in next. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Coming up next hour, Jeff Ross in studio. The phone number 888-808-1019. The number. We're coming right back on the Fan.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 728. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. The guys will be back next week. Coming to you live in the Built Ford Tough studio. They are on vacation. Now, before the vacation, before we get to Chris, unfortunately, I could not attend Willie's golf tournament, his charity golf tournament. I had something going on at home. Would have loved to have gone.
Yeah, Geo was there.
He was, and he was there quite early. Here's Will in Sayville. What's up, Will?
Hey, Willie and Jerry. Jerry and Willie. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Will. What's going on, man?
Yo, Will, I cannot believe, bro, that nobody has brought this up, but you got to tell us what happened. You left my boy Gio hanging for like 2 hours that he had to like literally passed out like in the back of the bathroom to wait for you to show up at 1 o'clock, man. Come on, man. What's going on over there? Oh, I cannot believe nobody has brought that up, man. Come on now, man.
That's all fabricated.
Really?
Dude, he said that he had receipts, all right? But he was too afraid to like show you because he thought you were going to break his neck and use his head as a golf ball in the tournament, man. Come on now.
No, the tournament started on time. First of all, Gio texted me. He's like, hey, you know, I'm running right at our studio. I'm heading to you. I'm like, he goes, what's the time? It was like 11 o'clock start, 12:30, tee off. He thought it was 11 o'clock tee off, and I'm like, no. So when I get there at 11 for registration, like any other golf outing, and he's sitting there slapping down some potato salad and eggs, and he's like, you had me rushing off. I said, no, I didn't. I was like, it's 11 o'clock registration, 12:30 tee off. Mm. Everything started on time. There was no, Gio was just mad he rushed over there and realized that he could have spared himself.
So you think it was his mistake?
Wasn't mine. Yeah, I walked in happy.
But there's only one way to make this right, though. I mean, like, he's from Sayville. I'm from Sayville. Now, you know, we got to, like, schedule something for you to come out here, all right, at 1 o'clock to play, you know, to do something, some type of golf tournament for, like, maybe, you know, Boomer's event, charity event or something, you know?
I have no problem doing anything for charity, but I don't owe Gio a damn thing.
Fair enough. So we got two different sides of the story.
Yeah, it was just miscalculation on his part. I walked in on time. Everything went smoothly. I don't know what happened. I didn't even see him after the end of the round. It was hot. It was one of it was
yeah,
the
it was 100 degrees.
It was
right?
brutal. Yes. So I know a lot of guys played 9 and turned it back into the country club. But I appreciate everybody that participated. We sell out every year, and so to everybody that paid top dollar to be there, I appreciate it. It goes to a great cause.
Very
and
good.
Lupus.
At least he made it through that event. Didn't have to go to urgent care for the allergy reaction.
That is true. Yes, like that happened to you last week with Boomer. He had some sort of a nut reaction, and he started swelling up, and they had to leave on 17, I think it was.
He's allergic. Did he know that?
He did not know that until, and I imagine that's what it was because it's the only thing he can look to as to why it happened, and he never had a nut allergy before, but it certainly looks like he's got one now.
Can you acquire adult allergies?
I believe you can.
Yeah.
And he's an asthmatic. He didn't have his inhaler, so he had to tap out on 17.
I'll tell you, you know, as a kid, even 5 years ago, I could go out and pull weeds. And I don't mean pulling poison ivy. I mean just pulling weeds.
Sure.
No issue. I cut leaves down. If I don't have gloves, I am
light up.
Loaded with,
really?
Yeah, with a reaction.
I had a scare not too long ago, man. I was pulling the tarp off some firewood in a bee nest grew underneath it. And I got lit up, like attacked, like cartoon stuff. Like, I mean, it was, I got scars all over me. Just, and I'm, thank God, I didn't think I was allergic, and I'm not. But my
had you been?
I would have been. My sister's allergic because she damn near dove in the pool. But yeah, I don't think I have any adult allergies. I'm allergic to oranges. That's the only thing I'm allergic to.
Oranges?
Yeah, I'm allergic to oranges.
What happens? If you eat an orange or touch an orange, what happens? You like swell up?
Swell up.
Really?
Yeah,
never heard of that.
Scratchy, yeah.
Orange juice, same?
So, quick story. I never thought I was allergic to orange juice. So in school, I had real orange juice. That's when I found out I had the allergic reaction. Mm-hmm. But I thought Sunny D was real orange juice. And that's where the mistake was. So when the lady gave me my orange juice, I was like, yeah, I drink Sunny D. And then I had real orange juice and realized that Sunny Delight is not real orange juice.
Drink.
Yes.
Do you ever go to Orange Julius back in the day in the mall?
Nah.
You ever hear of it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's another one. You thought you were getting like orange juice drink. It's really just.
Yeah, I thought I was in a clear. I used to pound Sunny Delight. And then there was used to be another orange drink called Tambacio, which is in the hood.
Don't know that one.
Yeah, it's like a Dominican orange juice.
I know Tang.
Tang. Yeah. I drink Tang all the time.
Yes, yeah. But not orange juice.
Yeah, I didn't know that. It said orange. I thought it was all the same. Yeah.
All right, Chris, good morning. What's going on?
All right, brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Last night's Mets win in Baltimore had some 2024 second half vibes to it.
0-1. Swing and a smash. Deep right center field. Mullins on the run. This ball is gone! To tie the game. A monster shot out to right center field. What a bash of an inning for the Mets.
Keith Rad, Odyssey Mets Radio, matching two-run homers from Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso there to turn a 6-2 deficit into a 6-6 tie. And then in the 10th, Juan Soto with the go-ahead RBI single. Mets end up winning the game 7-6. Ronnie Mauricio also homered in the ballgame. He played a nice third base, showing off some athleticism. So that's 5 out of 6 for the Mets. David Peterson opposed by Tomoyuki Sugano tonight. It's a 7:05 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Yeah, I know. Man. I'm going to go quickly on the locals because we've got some other stuff to get to. Yankees now, and I know we just played this highlight last hour, but we're going back to it because it's time for the Thriving Player of the Game brought to you by Thrive Well Infusion.
About time for first home run here at this ballpark. Here comes the 1-0. Judge dancing off at second. His pitch hit a long way. Deep right center field. Kiss that, baby. Goodbye.
You can sit on my face.
Big team with a 3-run homer. It's 4-0 New York.
And only a matter of time before Giancarlo Stanton started putting him in the air. Second homer of the season. Good to have him hit one here.
Dave Sims and Susan Waldman and Caroline Jastrzemski here on the fan. Giancarlo Stanton, 3-run homer. He went 2-for-4. He's our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game. Brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. So the Yanks did most of their damage after a rain delay. They built a 10-0 lead on their way to a 10-3 win over the Mariners. At the stadium, Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh each homered, so Raleigh's still too clear of Judge. It's 36-34 in that department. They are 1-2 across MLB. So tonight, 24-year-old, 6'6", right-hander Cam Schlittler will be promoted from AAA to make his Major League debut. He's got some impressive numbers across AA and AAA so far this year. 99 strikeouts and 76 2/3 innings. Logan Evans for Seattle at 6:25 pregame coverage here on the Fan and the free Odyssey app. So you got Schlittler coming up. Jazz Chisholm is back to second base. The experiment at third is over, and both players discussed by a admittedly sleep-deprived and slap-happy Chris McMonagle here on the Fan shortly after 4 o'clock this morning.
One of their top pitching prospects, Schlittler, let's be careful with that name, who I can't wait to hear Boone call him Schlitty in the postgame. I know Schlitty was, I feel like Schlitty had his good breaking ball, but good luck with that, Booney. We'll see how many jisms and schlitties are all over the place. Probably enough. I'm sure they'll be out there.
Interesting phrasing, to say the least.
Oh, yeah,
and it kind of reminded me of the time Joe reunited with Evan, filling in for Craig, I think, on Afternoon Drive in the summer, and they had Aaron Boone on his weekly spot because he used to go on with Carton and Roberts a few years ago now. And this was the tee-up from Evan asking Boone if he could still swing the bat in his, you know, retirement years here. And Boone, as you'll hear, I think clearly got a kick out of the wording from Evan.
If you took batting practice right now, Aaron, would you spray it all over the place?
Would I spray it all? I mean, in some form of spraying it all over the place.
Oh, Evan. He did another video, by the way.
Oh, my God.
From Barcelona now after
this
the Met win.
This guy is unbelievable.
Yeah, so he's moved on from Paris, as he said.
Just a video, or did he do another Rico?
No, not a Rico yet. This was just like a 30-second, hey, one of the best wins of the year, and a quick breakdown of the late innings.
So he was in London, now he's in Barcelona.
Well, Paris.
Oh, Paris,
yeah,
not London,
now
I'm sorry.
Barcelona. I don't know what else is on the trip, but he's gone from France to Spain.
A place that Evan would go that would surprise you?
No, because clearly he's just going to take the sports with him anyway. He could go anywhere in the world.
No, I don't mean it from that. He seems like he's trying to touch every part of the world. Just knowing him the way he is.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I mean.
This is a two-week trip, right?
Kind of doesn't matter if he's still, you know, watching the Mets on DVR with time change.
Oh, I'm sure he would. I mean, he loves this stuff. I think he's more of the sightseeing vacationer than he is find me a pool or a beach. Like, he wants to be out and see and witness.
All right.
I think this is right up his alley.
Well, I think we talked about it the last time. You never want to walk away from a vacation feeling like you need a vacation. It seems like he doesn't turn it off. So
his whole life is a vacation.
That's true, too. That's true.
He don't stress too much. You know, he lives it well. All right, the Red Sox are getting fat on the Rockies, 10-2 Boston last night, but that's kind of irrelevant. We're going to check in here with Red Sox radio man Will Fleming. He was a guest on WEEI talking about the Rafael Devers trade from whatever it was a month ago or so now.
Think about the courage, the chutzpah that it took for Craig Breslow to do what he did, right? I mean, that is a full-on balls-on-the-table move.
Yep.
To trade that guy.
He then tells a story about Devers in the immediate aftermath of joining the Giants, because remember, the Red Sox went to Seattle, and then a few days later to San Francisco to play Devers and the Giants, and he says the Giants and their fans don't know or didn't know quite yet what they were in for.
They think he's going to win them divisions and hit a bunch. He's going to hit home runs. Of course he is. They don't yet know what is going to happen with the player. I was there the second day. Will Clark was there to work on ground balls with him at first base, and Raffy didn't show up. So that's the person that these guys have been dealing with for a long time.
And Will Clark was on, I don't know, some sort of, I don't know if it's a Giants podcast, but he went on and confirmed the story and gave some details.
We weren't going to go through anything physical. We're just going to walk through and say, hey, look, if throw's coming from over there, stand this way. Throw's coming from over there, stand that way. It wasn't going to be this big thing, right? And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he did not come out early at all, period. Not at all. Now, in fact, he didn't even hit on the field.
All right. So, obviously, Will Clark, you know, pretty well known from his time, specifically playing for the Giants.
Yeah.
And then went on to say, hey, this won't happen again.
But Rafael Devers, the next time I'm in San Francisco, your ass will be on the field at first base. Just letting you know that. Just from the
But if he's not going to go out, he's going to tell you.
Hey, look, even if I got to go grab you by the back of the neck and drag your ass out there, you will be at first base.
Will Clark fiery.
Yeah.
Look at that.
See, that would piss me off. Because now you're challenging my manhood.
If you were, you would piss you off if
you're
Devers?
If I'm Rafael Devers.
No,
like,
but he's pissed off because he wasted his time waiting for
him. I totally understand that. But now you made it public that you're going to manhandle me after you're disappointed after me not showing up the first.
And then Devers
going
will beat down Will Clark like the former NHLer on the golf course. Now, not because Will Clark was a badass himself. Maybe he'd beat up Devers.
Wow.
I don't know. They're kind of interesting.
And the Giants are winning games.
They are. And the Red Sox have been a little bit better.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you get a sense of why they moved on, because this is the kind of stuff that I guess was going on behind
closed doors.
Yeah. All right. Quickly before I go, a couple more from Mike. Well, we only played one last hour, and then we got sidetracked. It was an interesting conversation with Willie about the press conferences and the coaches and everything. Here's a little bit more of Mike Brown introductory day with the Knicks. Let's get after this thing.
There's a lot of work to be done. We have an outstanding roster. What they did in the playoffs shows their potential.
And then because of all that, what's the goal moving forward?
Is to build a sustainable winning culture that produces championships. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, maybe well, they've already done pacing, that.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That's not. I don't need to hear that. I need to hear, how can we make this roster better? How can we get better than after what we saw in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. How can we make our bench better?
How can we take the next step?
Yeah, what's the next step?
He said they're excited about the bench additions they made. Looking forward to working with them, you know, so on and so forth. He was asked about, because Leon Rose and Jim Dolan were not available, he was asked a couple times about the firing of Tom Thibodeau.
I thought he handled that very well.
Yeah, I mean, did the best he could with
Tom. Tom's a tremendous coach, you know, and he is a friend of mine. But I don't want to get into the past. I'm just excited about the roster. I'm excited about the things that we're going to put in place here and where we can go with the guys that we have.
And that's, you got to ask the question, but he answered that exactly the way he should. Yes. It's not his question to answer.
I didn't see the press conference. I'm listening to the highlights just like you. But was there any questions asked about Rick Brunson's role? Because he's been demoted.
He has been.
Yeah.
Now, I watched the 20 minutes. Uh-huh. I didn't see that in it.
No.
So I don't know where or how or when that came
out.
But that came out pretty shortly after. I don't know if it was when he broke, because I think he did a thing with Alan Hahn afterwards
breakout
as well.
Breakout sessions.
Yes.
Yeah.
During the 20, I think it was 20 minutes, I did not hear that question asked, but I know that's a
big
deal.
He was a Tibbs guy. He was with him in Minnesota and Chicago, and he was a Leon Rose guy because Leon represented him while he was playing. And now it looks like he's taking a back seat, and I don't know.
Right.
What's next for?
Well, we will get to that coming up in a few minutes.
I want to ask him, maybe in the 9 o'clock hour, about press conferences and John Idzik.
Okay, that was a good one.
Infamously painful press conference in 2014. So we can get into that later in the show.
Sounds good. We will see you, Jeff Ross, next hour. So likely we'll see you at 9 o'clock. Yes, appreciate it, Chris. All right, we'll take a timeout when we come back. More on the press conference thing, but not to what Chris is talking about. Also, more on Mike Brown, now the new Knicks head coach, introduced yesterday, and Jeff Ross in studio next hour. Built for Tough Studio, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 7:51. It is Willie and Jerry in for the guys. We'll be back on Monday. We were just, during the break, a conversation broke out of something I was not remotely aware of. And, you know, Al's going on vacation next week. He is not going on a cruise, but he's going to Montana. But the whole cruise thing came up, and something has piqued your interest, apparently.
Yeah, so the Carnival Cruise Line has taken action against a certain demographic, the melon kind, if you will, there, Al Dukes. And
what?
The melanin.
Okay.
Black folks in general. Okay. And so the cruise line has said they're done with marijuana on the cruise line. You cannot have no wireless speakers. There's a popular song by 803 Fresh. They have a song called Where the Fans At. It's popular amongst the blacks. And there's a part of the song where they go where the fans at, and people have these large fans, and they clack the fans. It's like clack, 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 right? So the cruise ship has said, the end with that song. We're not doing that damn song no more. And for minors, 17 and younger, you can't be walking around past 1 p.m.
1 a.m.
1 a.m., excuse me. And if you are, you must be accompanied by an adult. And I'm reading these guidelines, and I'm reading these new set of rules, and I'm saying to myself, this has Al Dukes written all over. Al Dukes, I felt like, was on the Carnival Cruise Line and wrote an intensive letter to the cruise, the Carnival Cruise people, and said, hey, this must be brought to the people ASAP.
This would read like my Google review for Carnival Cruise.
Yes.
A lot of too many people with these speakers, smoking weed everywhere.
Right. And so I was like, did Al Dukes have any, are you a cruise guy?
I have been on multiple cruises, even though I can't, I watched that Poop Cruise documentary. I couldn't imagine going on another cruise. I don't know how I talked myself into going on them.
But you
in the
did
past.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, but I will say the last time I was questioning myself when I got on it. I was like, what am I doing? Why am I
that
here?
Was the Alaskan cruise?
No, that one was this one where I took a cruise out of Bayonne because I thought I didn't want to get on an airplane. I just thought, well, you cut out that whole hassle. I'll just go out of Bayonne to Bermuda, I think it went to.
From Bayonne to Bermuda?
But the problem with that is you're on the boat too long.
Yeah,
right?
You're on the boat too long.
There's not enough of Bermuda, I would think.
Yeah, you're seeing more of Staten Island than you are Bermuda.
There's a lot of Bayonne people that hop on that Cruz.
So explain to me then why in the black community. So I'm reading, all right, guests 17 and under up to 1 a.m. To me, that seems fine. I agree with that. I don't need a 14-year-old wandering around the ship at 3 a.m.
Yeah, because dumb things happen.
That's fine.
I agree with that.
The personal listening devices, the use of, I mean, I hate when people, I was in a doctor's office last week, and a woman is watching YouTube on her phone.
Loud.
On like volume 8.
Yeah.
And
Did you give it a look?
I personally don't care.
You gave her the look.
But it is annoying. And
you
people
stared
do it on
at her. Like...
No, I didn't stare. Well, she was had her back to me, so it was fine.
Okay.
But I have no, but to me, that's fair. Earphones needed in public areas. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I agree with that.
Now, you're saying the handheld fan thing,
the 803,
because of that specifically, you think?
Feels like a target.
Okay.
There's other songs out there, right? It's just, this song in particular is a hot song right now amongst the blacks.
All right, so
we love this song. Our grandmothers dance to this song.
All right, so
church folks dance to this song.
Tell me, if this is against the black community or not? Restrictions on bringing certain beverages on board.
Well, yeah, they don't want.
Everybody does that.
Like, yeah, but
I know when I went on the one cruise, I remember in Mexico we got tequila that we bought. We brought back because it was cheap or whatever.
Yeah,
that's not a white black thing, is it?
I don't know.
Now, this one is the one they're alleging is, and this is what it says on the Google AI, alleged bans on the wobble dance.
Yes, the wobble.
And restrictions on rap and hip-hop music. Now, that would obviously feel wrong.
You think?
Yes. But the rest of them, though, don't.
No, but my point
and
is.
And by the way, they deny this.
Of course they are. But, you
I don't know.
Taylor Swift isn't singing Whoop, There It Is. You know what I mean?
But they're still going to play that on the cruise ship, no?
There are songs that are our songs. They're taking those songs off the ship.
Okay. I mean, all right. They deny. Where do you stand on this?
Well, to your point, being a 42-year-old dad, I agree with a good portion of it.
Yeah.
Most of it, there's no reason to take our fans away. All right? We just like to dance with fans. That's what the blacks like to do in the summertime. All right?
That seems fun to me.
It is fun. The marijuana, I kind of get. You know, you want to be chiefing and walking around. There's kids running around. It's a little sexy.
I don't get the gummy thing, though. Who are you hurting by doing a gummy?
They don't want none of it. They don't want the pens, the vapes, the gummies, the blunts, the L's, whatever you're doing.
But I get all that where it's visual and you can see. You take a gummy in your... I mean, I guess you make the same case. You could do the vape in your room, too.
Yeah.
But the gummy thing, I mean, who's to say it's not a gummy vitamin?
Whatever it is, they don't want it.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'm not cruising anytime soon.
But my point to it all, this had Al Dukes written all over it and I had to bring it to his attention.
I was looking. I go, maybe I will go on another cruise.
All of a sudden, mind is changing.
Yeah.
He is going to Montana, though.
I am aware of that.
Montana.
Which,
big
by the way,
yesterday.
He still hasn't given us any reason.
No.
You panicked me the other day, so that...
What happened?
Monday, I went home and I was frantically starting to book things so that I had something to do when
and
I got there.
What did we come up with, Al?
Fly fishing.
Okay. I mean, you and the lady?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound very romantic.
casting flies.
Have you done this before?
No.
Because it's an art.
No.
Fly fishing is hard. It's not like regular fishing.
Yeah, no, I did more like I'm from New Jersey. I'm expecting to go fly fishing in Montana. Whatever the most basic is, that's what I want to do.
Okay. You're going to be doing that in somebody's backyard. I don't think it's going to be.
I don't think.
Do you think he'll be tying his own flies?
No, not at all.
I don't know what that means.
Al, I just feel like, does your lady consider you a man's man?
No.
Well, this is a trip where you need to be a man's man. This is the great outdoors. And I feel like you're struggling before you even
take
flight.
What else other than the fly fishing?
Yellowstone National Park. Go around there. Tour that.
That's a lot of walking.
Big Sky Country, Jerry.
Big Sky.
All right. What else?
Hot Springs. That's where you go into these hot...
You bathe.
You bathe.
Yeah.
Hot Springs with
other
disgusting
people.
In public,
right.
How long does that take?
I don't know. I hope all
I'm
day.
Just wondering if you're... I don't think so. Like I know the fly fishing is going to be a good portion of the day. The Yellowstone, you can walk around forever. The Hot Springs is not.
I mean, the Hot Springs is not.
No. Then what happens?
It's just hard for me to believe a guy who's a germaphobe wants to sit in a public hot bath.
Yeah. Like right now, I'm like, oh, that'll be fun. But when I get there, I'll be like, I'm not going in this.
Did you pay for it?
No.
Oh. Okay. Maybe you won't then. All right. So you got... You've got like 2 days worth of things.
The first
planned.
Day,
sounds like
there,
you got nothing.
You can't really do anything. You just go look around. Second day, Yellowstone. Third day, Big Sky. Fourth day, fly
what does Big
fishing.
Sky mean? What does that mean?
That's like the Big Sky Resort. It's a big skiing resort. In the summer, they have other.
Oh, so you got things. Stuff to do. Yeah. So your trip's booked then.
Even just driving around, Jerry, that's going to kill a lot of time.
Do you take a lot of pictures?
I take some pictures. I don't think you I take what a he lot. Just said.
Like, he can't wait to get in the car to kill time. Vacation.
No, no, but you're looking at beautiful mountains.
Oh, yeah. I understand. I mean, you see beautiful mountains in Arizona, too.
I thought Al should take a painting. Be more expressive that way.
I tried painting once. It was very difficult.
That's why he tries the piano and the guitar.
Oh, okay. So you're just swinging at anything to keep your mind occupied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, 56 and single.
He's not really single, though.
Yeah.
It's he's not, though.
They're not cohabitating.
I understand.
Are you single, married. Yes or no, Al?
Well, I'm not married, and we don't live together. But
you're not single.
I'm not single.
So like, if a girl asked you out Friday night, you're not going.
Depends correct. On the girl.
Right.
Is it Jared Goff's wife?
All right, on that note, we'll take a break. We'll come back and reset. We will get to the Knicks and Mike Brown. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.